Everybody, welcome to Open Door Baptist Church. Glad to have you all here with us this morning. Praise band's a little thin today, so, you know, we're still going to praise God. We're just going to do it with just the guitar today, so you guys get a special treat. <Da-da-tsh>. So y'all please stand as we open up with worship this morning. Because He Lives.
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy
life is worth the living just
as we open up the prayer this morning. Dear God, I praise you and I thank you, God, that you sent your Son and he died on that cross for our sins and that he lives today, God. You rose him from the dead through the power of your Holy Spirit, God. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord. And as we come here this morning to worship you, God, I ask an anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon us, your church, God. We love you. And upon your word, God, that you have for us this morning, upon our worship, and everything that we do here this morning, I pray it brings glory and honor to you. And I thank you for it all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
You may remain standing. Read your bulletin. Read your bulletin. Thank you. This Wednesday, all church services will be canceled, and Sunday school next Sunday will be canceled. The reason for all this is majority of us are all going to be on a mission trip this week. Some things to pray about in the bulletin for our mission trip. So please pray for us while we're gone. We're definitely going to need it. And also, directly following service, we can use any help that can help us load up the trailer with our food and stuff like that so we can get out on the road and get going. So the more help, the merrier. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Larry.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name.
Yeah, it's all praise for him. Is that right? It's all for him. You know, so I was preparing for worship this week. You know, sometimes you guys, maybe you think, maybe you don't. Hey, I wonder what Mike worships like at home. Well, this is kind of it. So if you wonder what it's like, sound like what Blinn has to listen to at the house, this is it. So this next song is one I often play when I worship at home when I'm playing. So we're going to kind of do it like I do it when I'm at home. It's a prayer. So you guys pray along with me.
Say,
can I
stand. My soul, Lord, to you surrender. All I am is yours.
All I am.
All I am is yours. All I am is yours. All I am is yours.
Lord, I pray that all of us right here, right now, are standing in front of you in awe, and that our hearts are abandoned to all of us. From all of us, we are yours. So, Lord, we stand here in praise, in song, in prayer, lifting our hearts to you, that you, Father, will be glorified. You are above all. And so we are in awe. We truly are. You have blessed us. You have given to us eternal life. Lord, what a blessing that is. So, Lord, we want to thank you. Thank you not just for the eternal life, but for our everyday life that we have in you, that we get to share in your work, that we get to share in your service. We get to share your love through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we are here. We are abandoned. And we ask that you speak to us in a very powerful way, that you will speak to our hearts, Father, and that we will always be reaching out to you, that we will never stop reaching for you, and that, Lord, you are our hope. You are our stronghold. You are our fortress. You are who we run to in our times of joy, in our times of fear, in our times of struggle, in our times of uncertainty. We run to you. We just pray that even now our hearts are abandoned, asking you to speak to us powerfully through your word, not what comes from me, but what comes from you. And Lord, if I'm going to say something that is not of you, that you would silence my lips, not allow me to say it or speak it, but that you would be lifted and glorified. We ask your blessing up on this worship of part of us, giving of our tithes and our offerings. Lord, we ask that you bless both the gift and the giver, and that the Lord, you would use these funds to the furtherance of your gospel, of your ministry here at this church, and that millions and thousands would be reached because of it. It is for your great name that we serve and we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. We welcome you all here this morning, and we pray that today will be a blessing for you in worship. And I have a little surprise and then a little bigger surprise. I kind of alluded to that, and my wife says, "What's the big surprise?" Well, just hold on, all right? Well, here we have a little surprise that's coming right now, and we have a couple that want to join the church. So I'm going to ask them to come and stand before you. Here they are. This is Hunter Fisher and Ronnie Van Camp. They are both of 18 years of age, and they want to become the member, become members of Open Door Baptist Church. And that just excites me. It really, really does. And I think we can... we can use some positive encouragement, can't we? Amen. But as they come and stand before you, they need to agree to some things before you and before the Lord, before we recognize them as members of this church. So let's just jump right on in here, and I'm going to ask you two some questions. And this is the first one. Have you read and agree with the church's constitution and bylaws? Yes. Do you agree to attend church regularly? You pretty much do already, so that's positive, right? Do you agree to support the church regularly through financial support? Do you agree to find a place of service in this church over a reasonable amount of time? Ronnie says, I already do. Do you agree to submit to the pastoral leadership of the church? Do you agree to follow the do you agree to allow the members of this church to hold you accountable in love according to God's holy word? Yeah, I need a yes out of you. Yeah. Do you agree to love the church and to promote unity and fellowship among the members? Yes. Have you read and do you agree with the Baptist faith and message? Yes. Very good. Open Door Baptist Church, I have some questions for you regarding their membership. Open Door Baptist Church, do you agree to recognize Hunter Fisher and Ronnie Van Camp as members of Open Door Baptist Church? If you agree, please stand. Do you agree to love Hunter and Ronnie as a member of this church and make them feel welcome and accepted members of this church? If you agree, say, I will. Open Door Baptist Church, do you agree to hold Hunter and Ronnie accountable in love to God's holy word? If you agree, say, I will. Open Door Baptist Church, do you agree to be accountable to Hunter and Ronnie according to God's holy word as members of this church family? If you agree, say, I will. Welcome to the family. God bless you. Now hold on. Just hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Do you have something else big that's going to be happening in your lives that you want to share with the church? What do you say we pray about that, amen? Yeah. Listen, I have nothing to say. How many years have you been married? How many years have you been, dating? All the way, 4 years, right? Well, I know another young couple that got married very soon. How long did you two date over there, Richie and Cynthia?
Would have been 3 years.
3 years, and you got married right out of high school?
Kind of.
All right. Dawn and I dated 4 years, got married right out of high school. Are you happy?
Amen.
Yeah, me too. Listen, that is awesome. It really is. So let's pray for them. Father God, we just thank you, Father, for Ronnie and Hunter, Lord, and their decisions that they are making to become members of this church and support this church and the ministries in this church, to be servants to the people of this church. So, Lord, we just ask your blessing up on them in that venture, but also as they are looking forward to their new life together, Lord, that you will put your blessing up on them and that they will always seek you in their marriage, Lord. And that will put a stronghold in their marriage that the cord of three strands is not easily broken. May they always have you at the forefront. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I think we got to applaud again, right? Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, open them up to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 13. And I've entitled this Arrows and Anchors. Last week we gathered together in worship. Dawn and I both felt that there was this overwhelming sense of heaviness within the church family. And I think that many people after last week's sermon expressed, yes, you're right, there is something there, there's something going on. We could literally feel the pain and we could feel the sorrow. We could feel the overwhelming heaviness that we as a family are experiencing. There's been a lot. Let me say it again. There's been a lot, right? And some of the things you don't even know about. Many of you don't even know anything about this going on. But we as, and I'm not talking about controversy or divisions. I'm just talking about attacks. I'm talking about attacks on God's church family, right? But we as a church family are in a season of hardship, it seems like. Maybe a season of attack and possibly a season of testing. And we can feel that. We can sense it. We can feel it. Our spirit was heavy last week. Our souls mourned the hardship, hardships affecting so many people in our family. And it is, let me tell you, it could just go on and on and on through sicknesses and deaths in the families. And it just goes on. And financial things, just health. I mean, it just goes on and on. So that on the forefront of my mind this week, my studies have taken me to James. So turn with me to James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Read with me. Is anyone among you suffering? You notice that's a question mark. Anybody among us suffering? Yes. Anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. You know, Mike sang that last song, and he said, this is my prayer. He says, in my worship, I play this, and this is my prayer. Listen, we didn't talk about this, just so you know, all right? This morning, he told me what this song was going to be, and I'm thinking, wow, that's right in line with the sermon. Like, that's just a God thing, right? Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Watch. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, as I've read and studied these verses, it is obvious to me that James understood that life is made up of triumph, but also of tragedy, right? We have triumphs and we have tragedies. And we also have joy, but also we have sorrow. The fact of the matter is, illness and sickness will trip us up. It's not if, but it will trip us up. And sin entangles us. And quite honestly, we never know what to expect. Life is totally unpredictable. Things happen that we have no control over. Amen? Now, James will show us this morning that the answer to all of these life circumstances, sorrow, tragedy, joy, triumph, and sin, The triumph over that, the victory over that, is prayer. Not only is the answer prayer, but this passage also gives us some indication of how to pray. It also helps us determine when we are to pray. It's what and when, right? How and when, right? These verses show us three distinct circumstances in which we are to come before God. Number one, we come before God when we're suffering. Number two, we come before God when we have success. And number three, we come before God when we have sickness. So let's look at each one of these. And then here's the first thing I want you, we need to do. We need to do this. Number one, we need to pray in the pain. We need to pray in the pain. Anybody in pain? I'm not talking maybe it's physical. I'm talking about emotional, maybe even spiritual. We need to pray in the pain. James asked in verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Now, I want to point out a couple of other versions of this verse, right? As we read this, I want you to look at the NIV. It says this, is any one of you in trouble? The King James Version asks it this way, is any among you afflicted? Suffering, trouble, afflicted. Now, the word that James uses here means exactly what we think it means, suffering in difficult circumstances. Listen, as God's people go through life, that's you and I, right? As God's people go through life, there are going to be difficulties, and we all know that, amen? And listen, sometimes those difficulties are not the result of sin. I said that last week. I don't know of any gross misconduct, any gross sin inside the body that I know of, right? I'm talking universally. So I told you, well, I don't necessarily think that this hardship, the things that we're enduring, is because of sin. Not all difficulties are a result of sin, and they are not they're not punishment from God. Sometimes they are, but not always. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul there describes suffering and uses the same word that James uses as right here as he describes the circumstances that he was in. And he suffered not because of anything that he did wrong, but he suffered for the gospel. He was suffering for what he was doing right. He was actively presenting the gospel over and over and over. And I told you, as long as we're teaching the gospel, we're preaching the gospel, and we're living the gospel, Satan doesn't like it. The best thing Satan likes out of a Christian is for a Christian to be stagnant because he's not useful. But when you're active for the gospel, things will happen. Like I said last week, we must be doing something right. James said, is anyone among you suffering? Verse 13, right? Paul uses that same word in 2 Timothy in verse 8. Paul said this. He said, Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer. Look, for which I suffer. The word suffer, same word. For which I suffer. For which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. He's saying, I'm suffered as if I've done something wrong, but I'm not, right? That's what he's saying. Paul said, I'm in prison just like a criminal, suffering only because of the gospel, only because he proclaimed Jesus was raised from the dead. He was suffering for no other reason but that. He was suffering because he was doing right. So yes, sometimes we suffer because of sin. That's true. It's very true. Very often that's the case. Sometimes we suffer because of sin, but not always. Sometimes it's just because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. So yes, sometimes we just suffer. And if you have ever lost someone, or if you have someone who is seriously ill, you understand this feeling that I'm talking about right now. Or maybe a parent who has an unruly child understands this feeling as well. Or couples with a troubled marriage understand this feeling. Anyone with financial problems may understand this feeling. Those who struggle with their health understand this feeling. And listen, the list could go on and on and on. Difficulties are a part of life. Troubles are a part of life. You all have your own set of circumstances and difficulties. I can't name them all. So James begins first by asking, verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? That's what he asked. Well, global data shows the majority of people struggle, what the majority of people struggle with day and today, and the daily pressures that come along, meaning people this. There's a study done, the people are stressed daily. People are stressed out. You know, a Gallup global poll from 2023 found that about 49% of Americans experience significant daily stress, one of the highest rates among high-income nations. We are a high-income nation. Now, put that in context. One out of every two adults walking through life have a daily undercurrent of tension. With 75% of those people with 75% of those reporting physical or emotional symptoms related to stress. And the top stressor, anybody want to guess what the top stressor is? It's said to be money. Finances, followed closely by workplace stress. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration reports that there are roughly 120,000 deaths per year that are associated with workplace stress. And 62% of Americans report societal concerns being a significant stressor, and 69% saying that they have stress about misinformation. Do we live in a world of misinformation? 69% saying they have stress about misinformation and the rise of artificial intelligence. This is our world, right? And 50% of people report loneliness as the major stressor in their lives. 50% of people report loneliness as the major stressor in their lives. Honestly, that one made me sad. People report regularly lying awake at night because of stress. 82% said that they manage their stress well, but admitted that stress caused them problems in their physical and mental health with relationships and with work. It affected their lives, right? And some of the health symptoms related to stress, fatigue, headache, upset stomach, muscle tension, change in appetite, irritability, anger, nervousness, lack of energy, and being on the verge of tears. Stress, right? In fact, it has been estimated that between 75 to 90% of all visits to primary care physicians are for stress-related problems. Stress is also related to high blood pressure, heart attacks, stroke, immune system issues, digestive gut issues, weight gains, and neurological issues. Anybody feeling stressed yet? Now I read that stress is the physical and mental response to a challenge or demand. Let me say that again. I read that stress is the physical and mental response to a challenge or demand, but suffering is your emotional reaction to that stress. James said this. James says, "Is anyone among you suffering?" And I think that it is safe to say that many of us are suffering, wouldn't you? I would say that, yes. So is anyone suffering among us? Yes. Well, Eastern philosophy illustrates that life shoots two arrows at you. The first arrow is the bad event. That's the first arrow, the bad event. That's the pain, right? And the second arrow is your reaction to it, the suffering, right? But I want to introduce to you today a third part of that illustration. I'd like to introduce to you the shield. The pain, the bad event, the arrow, the reaction, and the shield, your protection. God doesn't send us out as orphans. He doesn't send you out there to just wing it on your own. Look what he says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Paul said, "Above all, taking the shield of faith," right? Taking the shield of faith, part of the armor, right? And then in verse 18, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Listen, when those arrows come, and they will come, When those arrows come, faith is the shield, but prayer, listen, prayer is how we keep the shield raised. That's how we hold it up. That's how you hold the shield up. Prayer holds up the shield of faith. Look at in James 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Yes. Well, God has the solution. Here's the solution. And are you suffering? Here's the solution. Let him pray. Let him pray. James is saying the correct response to suffering is to pray about it and then keep on praying about it. And then you know what you do? You keep on praying about it. And then you know what you do? You keep on praying about it. Now, if you are on our one call system, you're on our one call system? You raise your hand, you're on our one call system. Yeah, right? You're on a one call system. Over the last 2 weeks, we are sending them out practically daily, multiple times a day in some cases. Because why? Why do we do that? Because prayer works. Prayer matters. Prayer holds up the shield, right? Prayer is important. It matters. And this is what he's telling us right here. Here's the solution, right? Now, let me just say, this is not necessarily a pray for deliverance from the trouble. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to ask God for help. I'm not saying that at all. Please don't go out of here saying that the pastor said that. I don't. But it's not necessarily deliverance from the trouble. Deliverance from the suffering, that's not what it's all about. Because sometimes God does not remove the suffering. Any amens? Sometimes the suffering lingers, doesn't it? Sometimes it just kind of goes on and on. Richie and I were talking the other day about some of the stuff that's going on in church, and there was two major events that took place, and you know about it. I'm not going to point them out. And Richie says, you know what scares me? He says, I think things come in threes. And I said, you know, I've noticed that too. Sometimes it just keeps going. Let me give you a little something. And this is a hard word. But do you understand this? There was a purpose for Christ's suffering. There was a purpose for it. And it was a good purpose for you and I. Do you see that? You get that? Listen, sometimes when we're suffering, there's a purpose for it. It should never drive us apart. It should shove us together. What do I always say? Don't run out. Run in. Don't run out. Run in. Don't think, well, I'm better off. No. Did Jesus not suffer? Who am I that is greater than he? Therefore, we should not grumble and criticize people who are having an easier time than me. We were talking to a young lady the other night and says, you know, how is your husband doing? He's been suffering for a long time. When our church has prayed for him for a long time. And then we asked her, how is her husband? And she goes, he's doing absolutely great. And that first response wasn't like, well, I'm glad he's doing good. And I'm like, fantastic, right? We need to rejoice when it's time to rejoice. Amen? And we need to hunker down in prayer when it's time to hunker down in prayer. Amen? Listen, we shouldn't blame God. But instead, rather than grumbling, rather than blaming God, we should pray. And what we should pray is that God will give us the wisdom, that God give us the wisdom that we need to understand the situation. Because one of the biggest questions in the situations under trials is why? I don't understand, God. I don't understand, Lord. Why? Why? We need to ask for wisdom to God to help us and to endure through the situation, but also to understand the situation, to understand why we are suffering, and to use it to His glory, to turn our hearts towards Him. Look what He did in His suffering. Look how He turned it to His glory, right? That's why James teaches in chapter 1, verse 5, look what he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. He's not stingy, without reproach, and it will be given to him. So James tells us to pray. And listen, James is not alone in this advice either. Over in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 or 7, look what Paul said. Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, here it is, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I don't understand how I can have peace in this situation. Right here, it tells you to pray, and that God will surpasses all of our understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In Psalm 34, 4, David said this, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Listen, sometimes things don't work out the way we want them to, but it doesn't mean that we have to have fear in that. We have to trust God. As I was talking to Ronnie and Hunter in my office about what it meant for pastoral authority, I said, sometimes you have to understand that I know things that you don't know. And so therefore, whenever I tell you something and you say, why? And I say, I can't tell you right now. You have to trust that I have the best interest of the church. Do you not think as a believer in Jesus Christ that God does not have your best interest at heart? But I can't see it, Pastor. I can't see it. Faith. You know, how's it held up there? By prayer. It's my shield. I have to lean in. I have to lean in or it will destroy me. So what do I choose? Destruction or peace that surpasses all understanding? I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Listen, folks, when we are in a mess, when we're in a situation, when we are under attack, we should pray for wisdom. We should pray for strength. And we should pray and we should pray for the removal of the suffering if it is God's will to do so. It's not wrong to pray that. But pray that according to God's will, that his will be done. So understand that as a believer, prayer, my friends, is a privilege. Let me say that again. As a believer, prayer is a privilege afforded only to us. I want you to get that. It's afforded only to us as believers. Do you get and understand that? It's a privilege. Prayer is only a benefit to us as believers. Now listen, when we exercise it, it's a privilege to us when we exercise it. When we put it into practice. Why do they have practices in sport events? Right? So that they can overcome on game day. Why do we put prayer into practice? So that we can overcome when things come at us. You know, I often have people that I know for sure that are non-believers. I know people who do not believe, right? And they tell me when something bad has happened, they'll say, well, you're in my prayers. But listen, I know that those prayers go nowhere. I'm not being mean, I'm just being truth. They don't go anywhere. Understand, it's the prayer. Don't take my word for it. Don't take me, take the word of God. Look what it says. It's the prayer of a righteous man, a believer. Is a believer, a prayer of a righteous man that what avails much. So prayer is a benefit for us Christians, right? It's a benefit for us Christians. What an honor, amen? I mean, what an honor that God would give that to us and not abandon us and leave us alone in our situation. Amen? That we can go to God at any time, in any situation, with whatever it is on our hearts. It doesn't matter. Amen? Good, bad, great, or small, doesn't matter. He gives us that privilege. Listen, I've told you this before. In this life, we will suffer. It's not if, it's we will suffer. As believers, we will suffer. So we need to expect it. It has to be an expectation because the scripture says it's going to happen. So we have to expect it. We have to expect we need not to be caught off guard by it. Peter says it pretty clearly. Look what he says. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Look what he says. Beloved, do not think it's strange. Don't think that it's unusual. Don't think that it's unusual. Don't think that it's strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Oh. Isn't it ironic? Prayer holds up the shield of faith. Faith? Do you think our faith will never be tested? Sad, but true. The fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. And in the beginning of James's letter, James chapter 1, verse 2, James said that the trials will come. So listen, if you are struggling, and I know many of you are, if you're struggling, try not to stress out about it. Try not to stress out about it. Try praying about it. You say, I have. Well, go back. I have. Well, go back. I have. Go back. Relentlessly. That when the pressures of life are greater than we can bear, the solution, according to Scripture, is simple. It's prayer. Because, listen, prayer changes things. Worry doesn't change a thing. I get on my mom. I'm calling my mom out. She's sitting here, and I'll pay for this later, but I'm leaving for a week, so I got time. My mom and Penny, they're worriers. They worry. And I look at Penny all the time and I'll say, are you worried? What, did you pray about this? And she'll say, yeah. And I said, then why are you worrying about it? Well, I don't know what the... I said, then why are you worried? Why are you praying? If you don't think that your prayer is going to avail much, we are to pray when we are struggling. Amen. Secondly, here's point number two. We are to praise into plenty. We are to praise into plenty. It goes back to Mike's song that he played. And God can't make this stuff up, Mike. I'm just telling you, he can't do it. It has to be on purpose. He said, this is my, you want to know what my prayer time's like? He said, this is it. And he sat there and he played the I'll Stand. He said, I play this as my prayer. Notice James mentioned something here that oftentimes we overlook. Sometimes we read Scripture so much that we just overlook some of the simple things. But look what he says here. We overlook praising God when things are going well. We overlook God when things are going well. Look again at verse 13. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Do you know what so often happens? And I can speak of this personally because I'm guilty of it personally. Yeah, I struggle too, folks. When things aren't going so well, we're more apt to run there when things aren't going so well. That's when we're most apt to go ask God for help. However, when things are going well, we tend to forget about the praise part. But let me ask you this. Do you think, who do you think is responsible for causing things to go well for us? You know, we like to complain to God or blame God when things are not going well, but we forget to praise God. We forget to praise Him, right? We to give Him credit when things are going well. We forget that sometimes. And most people view praise as singing songs only as a form of worship, which it is, amen, which it is. But the truth is, praise is another form of prayer, just like Mike said. Do you realize you can take almost any praise course, hymn, or almost any Christian song, and use it as a prayer guide? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says this, Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So the prayers of our prayers from our struggles come from a heavy heart. Right? But the prayers of thanksgiving come from a rejoicing heart. Sing unto the Lord, right? We sing that once in a great while. Sing unto the Lord a new song, right? Sing unto the Lord with our lips, regardless of life circumstances. No matter which way it is, we need to sing praise unto God. Listen, the Lord has appointed a time for us to both suffer and for us to be cheerful. He's appointed them both. So first, pray in the pain. Second, praise in the plenty. And third, and this really... And this is really important. It should happen often. We should partner in the pressure. We should partner in the pressure. Look at James 5:14. James says this, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Now let me say that as I've studied this scripture, I realize that there has been a great deal of misunderstanding from these verses right here. For some teach that this passage refers to being ill, that a person has to be afflicted with some sort of physical condition or illness. And although this may be an underlying truth, the principle applies here, right? This may be an underlying truth because Scripture clearly shows us examples after examples of individuals being anointed who are sick. They're being anointed with oil. One good example of that is the Good Samaritan is a good example of this. However, I believe that the main truth of these particular verses refers to spiritual weakness or spiritual sickness. And I say that because the word used by James here for sick in the original language actually means this, to be weak or to be weary. And in other places in Scripture, don't take that one, you got to go find the other ones, right? And in the other places in Scriptures, when this particular word is used, it refers to a weak faith or a weak conscience. The same word is also used in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Look what it says. "For consider him," referring to Jesus, "for consider him who endured such hostility from sin against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." So here in the Hebrews, the word weary or sick emphasizes the same meaning, to be weary or discouraged in your soul, or weary or discouraged in your faith. Both apply spiritually. So in this particular passage in James, in that particular passage, I do not believe that James was referring to the bedfast, the diseased, or the ill. And I don't think that's what it is in this particular context, but the principle still does apply, and it has applied in other places. But instead, I believe that he wrote to those who had grown weary, who had become weak, both morally and spiritually in the midst of suffering. They were beat down spiritually. They were just beat down spiritually. And it is to those that James says, you should call up on the help of the elders. Who are the elders? The spiritual leaders in the church, right? Those who can give spiritual counsel. And we are told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, that the early leaders were instructed to encourage or uphold the weak. Watch. The early church, the early leaders were instructed to encourage or uphold the weak. Again, referring to those who were spiritually weak. The other night, I was trying to think of an illustration to help explain these verses, and do you know what I realized? This is what I realized. I've never had anyone come to me and say, "Listen, Pastor, I'm struggling in my spiritual walk." Now, I've had that part, but let me finish. "I'm struggling in my spiritual walk because of a particular sin in my life." I've had other people come to me to point out other people's stuff, but I've never had someone personally come to me and say, "Pastor, I'm struggling in my spiritual walk because of a particular this sin in my life. Pastor, my spiritual walk is not what it once was because there are some things in my life that don't belong there. Or, Pastor, I'm having a really hard time. It seems that everything in my life is just falling apart, and now I'm not even sure if I trust God to help me anymore. I feel like I'm doubting His power in my life. I don't feel His presence like I used to anymore in my life, right? And I need the church to pray over me because I have something in my life that doesn't belong there. Never happened. Instead, you know what has happened? When people have fallen into sin or when people become discouraged in their faith, instead of asking the pastor or church members to intervene on their behalf, you know what they do? They don't run in, they run away from the very thing that God says, do this. They don't run in, they run out. They leave the church. They walk away from God, or in some cases, they stay. Some cases, they stay. Their body is here, but their heart has left the Lord. Their desire for God is gone. The passion is gone, and they're just going through the motions. I'm not saying they're lost. I'm saying they're stagnant. We talked about that last week, remember? Well, in cases like this, James tells us to run in, not out, but run to the elders in the church. James says, go to the elders of the church. Now, elders were leaders of the church who were considered spiritual overseers. These were people who were Christian people whose faith had been tested and proved, right? Because they went through testing. Remember back where I told you it tested? They were tested and proved, and they have been spiritually proven to be called by God to minister to His church and to His people. James says, go to them. Run to them. Go to them and ask them to offer prayer for you. I'm going to point something out to you here that many of you may have overlooked, and I did until I went back and studied this week, right? But I'm going to point this out to you, and it's huge to me, but it may be nothing to you. But the truth is this. James says, go to them and ask them to offer prayer for you and anoint you with oil so that you can be healed. Listen, the truth is this. We all need to go to those brothers and sisters who have a strong Christian influence. Those who are walking close to the Lord, people that you can confide in, people that you can trust in. And many times we call these relationships prayer partners or accountability partners or Sunday school teachers or ministry leaders or pastors, people who can come alongside of you, elders, people you trust. I'm not talking about old people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual people, people who you trust, who will hold you accountable and offer prayer on your behalf and intercede on your behalf, people who will love you. Didn't they just not agree to these things in front of the church just as you did? That people that you can, they'll come alongside of you to hold you up, to lift you up, right? To intercede for you on your behalf, people who will love you in Christ. Not condemn you. Not stomp you while you're down. Not stomp you while you're having a sin problem or a spiritual problem. It's not that, it's this. What do you want from God when it's you in that situation? Do you want Him to do this or do you want Him to do this? Huh? Right? People who love you in Christ, not condemn you, but hold you up, lift you up when you're struggling to stay up yourself, right? That's why they come alongside, to help, right? To hold you up. People that you can go to and say, I need help. I'm discouraged in my faith. I don't feel God working in my life right now. you can do that and not feel like you're being judged. Listen, sometimes sin is the problem. Sometimes sin causes the spiritual weakness, but not always. You know the number one reason that people don't come to the altar is, and this is from their own mouths, not mine. You know what the number one reason why people don't go to altar calls anymore? Because of things like today, because the things I'm preaching on today, that if you come to the altar after a sermon like today, the people are going to look at me and think, I got a sin problem. And so they feel like they're being judged, so they don't come. Shame on us, church. Shame on us. We shouldn't be stomping. We should be hugging and loving. Good night. And so they don't come. They don't respond to the Lord's call. The Lord could be saying, yeah, you need to go. You need to get prayer. You need to go. And they're like, no, there's too many people watching. No. And they begin, you know what happens? And then they begin to doubt their call in ministry, or they even begin to doubt their faith. Now, they may have been sure at the time they accepted the call. God may have delivered confirmation after confirmation to them. Yep, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And he's even bore fruit in it. And then this thing happens. And then they begin to pull away. And they begin to separate themselves from the church. They separate themselves from prayer and God. I'm not saying they're not believers. I'm saying they're falling away. It may not always be sin. Things happen. Maybe it's something of no fault of your own. But something happens. The arrows keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And their faith is tested. Their faith is tested. And they begin to doubt, just like many today. And when they get to that place, you know what they feel? They feel one of those statistics. They feel alone. You could be seated in this auditorium today and feel like you're the isolated person sitting in here, and you're surrounded by people who call themselves believers. They feel they'll be judged if they say something. And they begin to struggle in their faith, and they doubt. The doubt begins to consume them. And as a result, many have left the ministry altogether. Well, that's kind of the thing that James is talking about right here. That's what he's talking about. But what if? Oh, there it is. But what if? Now, I want you to think about this, because I told you I was going to say something to you, and it's coming, that you may have overlooked. What if at those times in our lives when we are feeling this way, discouraged, alone, beat down, our faith being at question, discouraged, broken, disheartened, those times when we can't pick the shield up by ourselves. We just don't have it in us to pick the shield up. Like right after my hip surgery, I almost left you that close. I was there. I was beat down and brokenhearted, questioned my calling. Should I even be here? I was broken. I I began to question my call. But what if? What if we were to call up on the elders to anoint us and call them to pray for us? Just like Steve and Richie did for me. They seen it. They knew it. They felt it. But I was just too prideful to ask for help. And many others prayed for me as well. I was in a very low, dark place. I went cuckoo. Literally. Ask these two. They know. They round me all the time. I was going nuts. Ask my daughter. She knows. In my own life, nothing lifts me up more than knowing that you are praying for me. I don't take that lightly when people tell me that. I don't take it lightly knowing that you're praying for me. It truly helps me. You have absolutely no idea how it lifts me up when I'm feeling down. James is saying that when we call upon the elders of the church to pray for us, it is for refreshment. Spiritual refreshment, for encouragement spiritually, to uplift our soul, our very soul, to strengthen our faith, so that we may be healed, spiritually healed. So think about this. Now, this is where it's going to get you, right? Think about this. I want you to notice this in Scripture. And maybe you all noticed it, and I'm just like finally getting on board, right? But I want you to think about this. When you're struggling, right, this text that where I'm just preaching to you, when you're struggling, James tells you to do what? What does he tell you to do? Say it. Pray, right? He tells you to pray. And when you're having success, James tells you to do what? To pray, right? But notice something in this text, right? Notice this in this text. When you're sick, when you're spiritually sick, James doesn't tell you to pray. Did you notice that? What does he tell you to do? Have the elders, have others come and pray. He didn't tell you to pray. He says, go to the elders. Have them pray. You're to go to the elders for prayer. Because sometimes, watch, sometimes we need to allow our fellow brothers and sisters to bear our burdens. What did I say? They noticed. Something was gone wrong. It wasn't just that I was physically, I was being affected spiritually and questioning my call. And they come. And they come running with prayers to uplift me. We got you. We got you. You take as long as you need, Pastor. We got you. You take this. We got you. We're praying for you. And they're anointing me with oil and they're praying over me. Listen. When you're down and you don't allow, when you're down spiritually in this area of your life, and you don't allow the elders, you don't allow the spiritual people of the church, you don't allow those who are walking with Christ, when you don't allow them to come around you, do you know what you're doing? Listen, I know this is supposed to make you feel good, but do you know what you're doing? You're hindering the work of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? Because the Lord tells us what we're to do. And when we push that out, we're saying, no. Listen, folks, the conclusion is clear. Look at verse 16. Confess your sins to one another. I got to tell somebody I got a lust problem. I didn't say you got to tell anybody you got a lust problem. Read the text. I got a stealing problem. Am I supposed to? No. You're to confess that, not me. This means that you and I, right? Confess your sins to one another, pray for one another. This means that you and I together are to have a mutual concern for one another, and that is the way, that is the way to combat discouragement and downfall, to knock down the arrows that want to destroy us, but God gives us a defense against this. We're not powerless. The cure is personal confession and prayerful concerns for one another. It is the powerful, watch, not me, Scripture, not me, Scripture. It is the powerful and effective prayer of faith of a righteous man that brings the needed cure from God. Listen, I want to make sure you understand, when we anoint with oil, the oil has no power whatsoever. There's oil laid right there just in case today. But that oil has no power whatsoever. But instead, it's God's acting through the prayer of faith with the anointing of oil that will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now, isn't it good to know that God cares about us, that God is interested in keeping watch over us when difficult times come? Isn't that comforting to know? That he has a plan for your discomfort, for your trial. But isn't it also good to know that God provides a way for us to plug into his power? In whatever life circumstances we are experiencing, especially for the sorrow, for the serious ones. That whether it be in our struggles or in our life success or in sickness or, listen, even in sin, that we can look and see and know that God is watching out for us. I got you, he says, and this is how I'm going to get to you. I got you, and this is how I'm going to get to you. Listen, we have to plug into his power, and when we do that, God will answer our prayers. And James shows us the example of this in Elijah. Look at verse 17. I'm getting ready to close, I promise you. Elijah, look what it says. Elijah was a man just like us. Elijah knew all the frailties of our human nature. He knew everything that you go through, that he went through. But in prayer, he prayed. Listen, earnest and persistent prayer is essential to live the Christian life. Let me say that again. Earnest and persistent prayer is essential to live the Christian life. It's absolutely essential. Why? Because prayer has the power to change. Prayer has the power to change. The reason so many people suffer longer than they need to is because we refuse to pray. We refuse to allow others to pray with us. Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, humble themselves. What does that mean? What does humble mean? Does anybody want to take a stab at that? What is it? Selfless? Yes, who will call by my name and humble themselves, submit themselves, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. There's the sin part. And turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and what? And heal their land. Now, many people look at it as like a nation thing, but your land is also your home. So like many today, you may feel like you're standing in a crossfire of arrows, and you are called to stand firm behind the shield behind the shield of faith, right? But listen to me, friends, you don't have to carry the weight of the battle alone. That's the good news. You don't have to carry the weight of that battle alone, because the shield of faith defends you against the arrows, but the anchor, Jesus Christ, holds you steadfast. Yes, faith is the shield, but prayer is how we keep that shield raised. So keep the shield raised. There's my advice. Keep the shield raised. Keep the shield raised. If you can't do it yourself, then have somebody come and help with you. Right? Keep the shield raised. Let your prayers be the connection to the one who keeps you immovable and your faith strong. God is immovable. Therefore, if you are here today and you are suffering, James tells you to do what? That's not the pastor, that's James. He says to pray. If you're here this morning and you find that you're at a time of success, then you know what God tells you to do? Pray. If you're here this morning and you're spiritually and morally weak, if you are sick, then come and ask the elders to pray for you and for you and pray for you and with you and for you. So you come. Maybe you need to be anointed with oil. You come. We will do that. We will anoint you with oil and we'll pray over you. Maybe you need encouragement and uplifted in your faith. You come. Maybe you need to confess and repent. Then this morning I encourage you to come. Or maybe you just need to come this morning and bow before God. Come and say, look, I'm just coming because I just want to give you thanks. I don't know that there's anything wrong in my life, but I know my neighbor has something wrong with them, and I want to pray for them. I know this church member has something going on. I want to pray for them. Lord, I just ask you to come up on them. But would you come and bow before God earnestly and persistently seeking His face, His will, His power in your life and in others' lives around you? Would you come? Maybe you feel lost and lonely today. Maybe you don't feel connected to God. Then come and get reconnected. He's not moved. He's still where he always was. Come get reconnected. Listen to me, Christians. You are never powerless. You are never powerless. You may be prayerless, but you are never powerless when it comes to God's help. And we should be shouting hallelujah. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Maybe you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to forgive you of your sins, to be your Lord and Savior. And then you, my friends, I'm sad to tell you, are powerless. And your prayers are unheard by God, except that is the prayer of repentance. Lord, forgive me. I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness. And I ask you to come into my life and turn the power switch on. I want that power that you're talking about. And turn the power switch on that I may know you. You also need to come. So this morning, the invitation is this. Where you're at, will you come? Will you come? Because that's where your circumstances will change. Father God, thank you for your word. Lord, I give it to you. Lord, I just pray that you begin to move powerfully and that your people will respond to your word. And Lord, that we will come to you in prayer. For we are not powerless. We have much faith and hope because you are on the throne. So we come and asked for you to intercede for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The altar is open. If you need an anointed with oil, want to be, you come. There's people here that are going to pray for you besides me, so feel free to come.
We all please stand.
You will not be judged.
Yeah.
leave here, if you need prayer, come see me, Rich, or Steve. Come see us. We'll pray with you. We'll be happy to spend time in prayer with you, so don't leave here. I understand it can be intimidating, come forward, but listen, we're here for you. We love you. We care about you, all right? So we're not here to judge anyone. We all have our own closets, amen? That's right. So listen, so pray for us today as we leave for the mission trip. And don't forget, we can use anybody's help downstairs that can help us. It won't be that long, honestly, if everybody pitches in, but it'll help us get on the road and get there, all right? So, Brother Steve, would you pray for our mission team before we go? Yes.